Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 159. In this episode, we're going to be talking about how you can use video, short form or long form video on LinkedIn or YouTube to promote your membership website. I think it's a really important subject. I've got my great co-host with me. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers?
Sure thing, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Onen, and I own an agency called Manana No Mas, and we work directly with the great team over at WP Tonic.
Oh, thanks. Like I say, I think it's a great opportunity to promote your membership website, to get active members. Should be a great show. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Want to also have the opportunity to point out that we've got a fabulous resource for you. We've got a course ourselves done by Kirk himself that will show you how to build a membership website on the most modern WordPress technology from beginning to end. It's really affordable. It's around $29. We're doing a special deal. Plus, we've got some other free offers from the sponsors of the show and other free goodies. You can get all this by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. So, where to start off? So, I think video on LinkedIn or YouTube, long form or short form, is really important depending on the target audience. And also you've got other platforms like TikTok, you've got Instagram. But I think if you're starting out, Kurt, you've got to choose one platform because you're going to be pushed too much to get an audience that can really help you build your membership website. So I suppose it depends on the kind of audience that you're trying to attract. Would you agree with that initial statement?
I got to say, Jonathan, I agree 100% with where your line of questioning goes there, because, you know, I've dabbled in tons of these, and I'm always shocked at the results, the engagement or the following or the viewership. I recently did a live on TikTok, for example, and had like 770 views and 150 people come in live and make comments. But to your point, in a business-to-business mindset, what do all those views on TikTok gain if they're not potential leads or clients? Whereas I think with YouTube or LinkedIn, we can be a little more focused on our avatar and who we're trying to communicate with.
Yeah, I think you really, and we've really covered this in other episodes, folks. So if you want to look at previous episodes, you'll be able to get some advice. And what I'm talking about is who your membership website is really targeted at. Who is the niche? What problem are you solving for that niche? And that will determine which of these social media platforms that you need to concentrate on. Now, like if it's a business to business, I would say LinkedIn or business owners. If it's consumer non-business owners, probably YouTube or one of the other social media platforms. The only thing I would say is that YouTube is the biggest second search engine on the internet. And it's kind of a social media, but it also isn't. It's a hybrid. But let's start off with LinkedIn, because you've got a lot of experience on LinkedIn. Kirk has built up over the years a large following. But I think your love for LinkedIn oscillates a little bit as well, but it does for all of us on all these platforms.
It does.
How important do you think video is on LinkedIn? I push a lot of video on LinkedIn. Do you think it's a good way of building an audience?
It can be a good way of building an audience, but LinkedIn is very dependent upon some other things in LinkedIn to be effective. LinkedIn, for instance, you have to have posts, you have to have video, you have to have engagement with those items. But LinkedIn is also very dependent upon your engagement with others. And so you want to get in and, like, share and comment on other people's posts. It's a very interactive platform, which doesn't, intuitively, it doesn't feel that way. When you first get into LinkedIn, it feels more, it's supposed to feel more corporate and sterile, like people go, this is for business. But realistically, it is a very integrated social platform, and people that are more social get rewarded in the LinkedIn structure.
So really, I've been trying to post more, but I haven't been very interactive with people. I do a bit more of that on Twitter. So, what you're suggesting is, if I'm going to get anything from LinkedIn, I'm going to have to be a little bit more proactive.
They're definitely looking for give and take, interactivity within the platform. Video is great. The thing about LinkedIn and video, though, because we're really focused on video for this conversation, is the rules in LinkedIn are a hot mess. Like, a lot of times when you're making content for LinkedIn, you really don't know if it's going to be applicable to their platform or not when you're first starting out, because they have rules about things. Like, it's got to be at least 3 seconds, and then there's a maximum of 10 minutes. And then you post
I thought for me,
what's that?
I thought for me, it was around 15 minutes. It's 15.
That's what I'm talking about. The rules are all over the place. So I can post videos up to 30 minutes and they play, right? And they load and everything's fine. And then I'll have a client say, well, I don't understand. I put these videos in and they don't work. And it's like, well, you're limited to 10 minutes. And I'm not exactly sure where the cutoff points are for those, dare I call them entitlements. The other thing is video format, because, with an MP4 versus a 256 thing that you do in Premiere Pro versus a .mov, that they're all different file sizes for the same type of content. And they have file size restrictions and limitations as well, not just based on time. And so getting used to LinkedIn and what works in your account can be a little bit of an ask.
So what it seems to be providing for me is I can upload a video MPEG up to 15 minutes, but I didn't realize they were really varying this depending on the size of your engagement and other factors. I wasn't aware of that. So I'm getting 15 minutes. Also, you can do lives and they're unlimited, aren't they? Seems to be.
Yeah. So it took me a long time to get the live access. And now it seems like they're more generous with that than they used to be. I had to request it, I'm going to say, 4 times before I got it, Jonathan. And then once I got it, there were some restrictions right out of the chute. But then everything opened up and I was able to do what I needed to do. And now I think they're much more, liberal or easygoing to let people in for lives and to give them access to longer content. What's interesting is in LinkedIn, and you're aware of this, right, with the different post types, they have a regular post, they have video posts, they have upload a document, they have newsletter type posts. Those different post types allow for different video lengths to be included with them as well.
Oh,
so one post type might allow like a 200 megabyte file, but a different post type might allow a 500 megabyte file. And so that changes, of course, the amount of time that you're going to be able to generate with the available megabytes.
Yeah, the way I haven't been hitting the megabyte restriction, because what I tend to use is I just try and upload a video that's below 15 minutes. And then what I tend to do is I use something called Handbrake on my Mac to lower the file size of the video. I'm like, so it loads up quicker, basically. Yeah. So that's probably by doing that, not uploading anything that's more than 15 minutes and then using Handbrake, I'm probably avoiding the size limit that you've talking about, thinking about it. That's probably why I haven't hit that.
Now, there's something else that's really odd about LinkedIn, and that's if you get the ability to go live and you go live and you post video content live. You may have experienced this, Jonathan, where you'll get a notification that someone has commented on your video or something, you know, and you want to go and you want to interact with that comment on that video. If you go to that link where that video is, you don't see the comment. And then you end up trying to play the video to see if the comment pops up, right? And then how do I get that comment? It's a nightmare. If you go to your LinkedIn profile, your own profile, and you go to posts and activities, you'll see it there. And then you see all the comments and everything's in a news feed like what we're used to. And then you can interact properly. But most people don't know that they have to do that to get to their comments.
No, I've been doing that, but I've just done it by accident. I've always, because you see, well, I just find the way they're displaying your content on your own home area is not that intuitive, is it?
No, it's not. You know, in the Facebook world, right, because this is how a lot of people got acclimated to social, was in Facebook. In Facebook, you go to your video and you see the comments right there, and you manage your comments, answer them right there. You don't have to go to like your profile on Facebook to find comments submitted to your video. So LinkedIn is not the most intuitive, but it is one of my most favorite platforms, because I do find that when I do get interaction on LinkedIn, it's the interaction I'm looking for. They become leads, they become followers, they become potential partners. Whereas when I get interactivity on other platforms, it's not that kind of focused interaction. It's usually some kind of surfacey kind of comment.
Now, when it comes to YouTube, it's, you know, obviously they're really pushing now. Well, they seem to be pushing two directions, don't they? I do a lot of videos that are around the 10, 15 minute, but I do upload my podcasts as well. They've got a podcast stream. I would recommend you take absolutely no notice of that, because it's displayed terribly. I also noticed that iTunes are introducing a video stream a bit like Spotify. I did muck around with Spotify a bit, but their video streams, but it's not, might go back to it, wasn't very good, their setup. Now, where YouTube, they seem to be either promoting long form video that's like hour or over hour, or short form video, but they seem to be playing down the traditional 10, 20 minute video. But other people say no. I also know they've been doing a bit of a purge, seemingly, on using AI. There's creators that are setting up multiple YouTube channels and then pumping out AI-generated content to YouTube channels. Yeah. And Google has been going, or YouTube's been going on a bit of a hunt for these and blocking them and banning them or taking them down, basically. But I still think YouTube is still a fantastic platform to promote, especially evergreen. But you've got to find a niche, haven't you? And you've got to get the artwork done. What was your thoughts about YouTube?
Part of the reason that I like LinkedIn over YouTube is that I didn't, in YouTube, I feel like I've never been focused enough for YouTube to fully understand what my channel's about and recommend it to other viewers. Like people that find me become loyal viewers and listeners and all those fun things that we like to talk about. I mean, I've only got 107 subscribers and I've got, you know, hundreds of videos. My YouTube effort has been, by most definitions, pretty unsuccessful. I'm happy with my content. I'm happy with the way that it works, but I'm not happy, you know, with the overall distribution and results. But I think that's because in the grand scheme of things, YouTube is such a bigger, more vast, you know, collection of video and niches and genres and all these things. I think it's really difficult to be a content creator and be able to build a channel and fit directly into a specific, knowing what I know now, if I were to start over again, I would probably have multiple channels, right? I would probably have an entrepreneur channel for the entrepreneur versions of my podcast. I would have, you know, a learning management systems channel. I would have, you know, but my problem is I have three or four of these very similar topics all in the span of my one channel. And I think it makes it very hard for Google's algorithm to single out viewers to recommend my content to. That aren't already following me.
Yeah, because I don't think my channel's quite so diverse, but I think because I've got the podcast, but it's all around WordPress and learning management and community website membership. So I think I suffer from that a little bit, but not quite. It's not quite so diverse as you.
And I naturally am very interested in all these verticals. You know, it's unfortunate, but when you have a diverse interest or when you get older, you know, longer in the tooth, like we are, Jonathan, we have a lot of experience in life. We've lived a life and we have these tentacles that come out that, you know, we can express interest to other people. But the problem is that's not what the modern interface wants. The modern interface wants to put you into a spot. It wants to put you into a specific slot and promote you in that one slot. But it's unfortunate that that's just not real life.
No. I think the other thing is, because to be truthful, folks, I used to upload the videos for the podcast, for this podcast. You can see it on YouTube, folks, if you're listening on just audio. And I used to upload, I still do my other podcast. I do a rough edit, folks, but probably I need to spend more time on the editing. But I can only do that if I really focused on YouTube or I get an editor, which I would love to do. So, but the other factor is I used to utilize mostly my shorter videos, my 10, 15 minute videos to help me to promote my blog on my website, because YouTube really, or Google really likes if you put a video on your blog post and other factors. But recently I've gone the other way because of the changes Google's over the last year and a half, and I've been battling away. Like I say, YouTube's the second largest search engine on the market, is that I've been really optimizing the videos for YouTube. I've been spending time trying to find niche subjects that are in my area of expertise. And then I've been using a tool called, mine's gone blank. What's it called?
VidIQ?
VidIQ. And it shows you, part of the analytics it shows you is, well, it will show you popular videos. It will show you trending videos. It will give you a list of suggestions. The problem is, I find one of the key factors is the key element that you really need to focus is how many people per hour are watching that video title. You need to look at the competition. If you've got a particular subject and the competition has like the first three videos have got like 500,000 subscribers each, it's very unlikely that you're going to compete. But if the competitor that's got a large audience, the title isn't a pure match to yours title, it probably only has one keyword in it. But the other two of the three that you're looking at have much smaller audiences, you probably stand a really good chance of competing. But where a lot of people went wrong or go wrong is it might have been getting traffic 3 months ago, or it might have got traffic a month ago, but the viewers has died down. And if you're not getting any views per hour, it's probably not worth going for, because you're not going to get any engagement. But the only problem is when you're in, depending on the niche, it's got to be in a niche that you want to compete with. So it's a bit of a contradiction, folks. Is this making any sense, Kurt?
Jonathan, this takes me back to my central thoughts on like SEO in general. And I'm very contrarian in this particular space for our industry, because SEO keeps changing, because the rules keep changing, because, you know, video recommendations keep changing the outcomes in these video streaming models. I'm really big on, you know, what you have in your show notes is number five. And that's, I prioritize authenticity over production value or over messaging or over keyword usage or any of that. I honestly feel like if I write content for my blog that comes from my heart or things that are at the top of my mindset, or if I make video content that resonates with my core being in the moment, and I know that sounds very crystals and pyramid when I say it like that, but I just make the content from a position of authenticity and being real and authentic, and I pray for the best. This chasing keywords and trying to match, we always say pick a niche, work within your niche. We say that. But when you drive that niche down to, you know, keywords, like I use vidIQ as well. And vidIQ told me last week that like the buzzword for the week was budget. And I had to think to myself, well, how am I going to squeeze budget?
Yeah, but you definitely don't want to do that, because everybody will be making videos about budget. So
yeah, exactly. And, so I was like,
You're not going to compete with a one word or three words. They do have on the IQ, Quid IQ interface, they do have a section that shows you other videos in your niche.
It's similar to you.
Yeah, that's similar to you, and you can see what subjects there, what videos are ranking, and you can then, I won't suggest that you copy precisely what they're doing, but you can then use the other tools to get a title, and you can plan out your video, what is going to be in that particular area. So I think that, but I do agree with a lot of what you said, but on the other hand, it's finding niches. It's a useful tool. But you can do all these things, but if nobody's viewing the video, it's getting no views, because it views per hour. It's very unlikely that anybody's going to find your video. Very unlikely. So it's finding a balance. Yeah. Right, we're going to go for a middle break, folks. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the editors that you can utilize for your LinkedIn and YouTube video. It's been a great show so far. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS. the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. I want to take the opportunity to tell you about another free great resource, and that's the Membership Machine Show and the WP Tonic newsletter. I do a newsletter every week. It has a subject that we cover normally in this podcast. I give a little bit more information and some links. And then I do a created list of some of the best stories that come on my radar. I do this all myself. It's totally free, the newsletter. Please sign up. It really shows that you're supporting the show. Where you can get it, go to wp-tonic.com/newsletter. wp-tonic.com/newsletter. Right. So you want to edit your longer form, your short form videos. Until a few years ago, you really, you had desktop editors mostly. It was dominated mostly by Final Cut or Premiere from Adobe. You had a couple other players like Camtasia and
Asia
and ScreenFlow. I still use ScreenFlow myself. They were the main four that were recommended. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, the direct competitor to Premiere Pro for people in the open source world that like things cheaper than Adobe was DaVinci.
Yeah, they're still going, aren't they?
Yeah, I had DaVinci on my old PC before Jonathan swapped me over to the Mac world.
Right. And but now you've got a lot more choice, folks. You've got a lot of browser-based editors or some that are a mixture. They offer a browser or you can download an app. But there's, and some of them are AI powered. You've got a lot more choice. So let's go through. One that is from Adobe is Adobe Express. And I'm no great fan of Adobe because of the way the company runs itself. But I've got to admit, Adobe Express, even the free product, they've got free pricing levels. They've got free Premiere at $9.99 a month. And they've got Firefly Pro, and that's just slightly under $20 a month. That's month to month, folks. I think the free product and the Premiere one, it's pretty good value. It does quite a bit. I don't think it compares. You know, if you need desktop, you're going to have to look at Adobe's cloud subscription model. But if you can avoid that and just work with Adobe Express, I think it offers quite a bit of value. What do you think?
Jonathan, you've cornered me again on my Adobe quandary. I got into Adobe as a corporate trainer and had to have Creative Cloud. I had to have Adobe Creative Cloud for years as a corporate employee. And then when I got out and started my own agency, right away I had clients where we were using Adobe products and I kept the cloud. Then I realized this is costing me a fortune. Like, I can't pay, you know, this much money every year to just keep this stupid product. I was very resentful about it. And then I was able to get a teacher's license with Adobe Creative Cloud. And that locked me in for a highly reduced rate. And they've had my money for years and they'll probably continue to have my money for years. I am a big Premiere Pro user. And by extension, for really quick projects, I'll jump into Adobe Express to knock something out. The thing that bothers me about the Creative Cloud, though, is I'm lucky if I'm scratching like 12% of what I could do with that suite of products. It's amazing the stuff you can do. It's just, I think you need to have a doctorate to figure out how to use some of the stuff.
Yeah. But the Adobe Express, you can edit videos in it. And
it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's great.
Descript. This is a kind of AI product, more aimed at short form, I would say, but you can also, you can do long form as well. Hobbyist starts at 24, creator 35, business 65 per month.
I'm a huge Descript user, Jonathan.
Yeah, I know you are.
Huge. And they now do clips and shorts like Opus Clip did.
Yeah. But what would you say is because it basically edits like a Word editor. Is that correct, isn't it?
Yeah. So when you upload a video, it automatically transcribes it, and then you can edit the video with the text editor. So you can, don't get me wrong, you can clip and clip and paste the video like in the timeline, like a normal video editor, but you can also edit the words. So like if I were to say, I could just go highlight, hit delete, and it just takes it away. And it edits the video with the text.
And how would you compare it to something like Adobe Premiere?
Completely different. So my workflow is I do the first edit in Descript. Sometimes I take out the uhs and the ahs. Sometimes I leave them in because I want it organic. But the coolest tool about Descript is I can add studio sound to the video. So it enhances my vocal tones tremendously. And then, or my guest, because I record my podcast there too. And so me and my guest both get studio sound. And then I take that exported version of that and I put it in Premiere Pro. And that's where I add my bumper, my trailer, my lower thirds, and do my final export for production.
And loads of people love it, I think. Yeah.
They added features last month. I haven't even explored it yet. You can do AI bumpers, trailers, effects, all kinds of stuff that I haven't had a chance to play with yet.
Right. So we've got another one. I haven't actively used this at all, folks, but it's really got very popular, and that's CapCut. Free. They've got a free product. They've got a standard $9.99 and $19.99. I think it's web-based, but also you can get app for PC and Mac as well. I'm not sure. I might be totally wrong here, but I think the apps only work if you've got a paid version. I'm not sure about that, actually. Might be wrong. But a lot of people using this. Do you got any knowledge about this one?
Mostly from my daughter's side of the family. She is, you know, an Instagram person, and a lot of folks in that Instagram, TikTok, you know, posting those, you know, portrait style short videos, highly styled. Come from the CapCut interface, and it's very well liked, especially by younger people, it seems like.
Yeah, I think it's something you want to look at. It has got its following. And then you got Canva Video Editor. I've looked at this a bit. I don't think it's as good as the Adobe Express product, to be truthful about it, but they're always improving things. And I have got a Canva Pro account. I've only got about 5 SaaS products that I pay for. I've tried to cut it down as much as possible. I think they're always improving it. I think if you've got Canva Pro, I'm not sure if you can use this if you just got the free product. I would imagine you can use it. But I would imagine it's extremely popular. Have you got any knowledge of this one?
Canva Video Editor, I've only used a couple of times. Like yourself, I have a Canva Pro account. For me, Canva's great at like YouTube thumbnails and great for blog post featured images. I didn't find the video editor to be that intuitive and to be that effective. And so I jumped out and used my other tools.
But they've also, I forgot the name, didn't they bought oh, I forgot the company that had a direct competitor to Adobe. I forgot its name though. Canva bought them. It'll be in the show notes, folks, but in this particular video editing, I wouldn't say they're dropping the ball, but it's not as competitive as the other ones that we're talking about in this list. But if you got the print and you can't afford, but I think I would really look at the Adobe Express. I don't like saying that, but yeah. Riverside, really popular. 29 for the pro, the live is 39, the webinars 99, but for $29, I say Descript's got the hobbyist for 24 or creator 35. I would say, but Riverside, they've got an editor, but they're also big in podcasting, but their editor looks pretty good though. Got any knowledge of this one?
I use Riverside on a weekly basis. For a podcast project, what I like about it is from a podcast perspective, you know, two or more people on screen, does local recording and then bridges all the local uploads and downloads together to make one really high quality video, which is something that StreamYard only recently started doing. So from the podcast perspective, I think Riverside was a little ahead of the ball. When you finish recording in Riverside, it will automatically make shorts for you, which StreamYard just now, I think, started offering as well. But again, Riverside was ahead of the curve on that. And I think the quality of the clips is better. So I said that Descript also made clips. I find that the quality of the clips that the AI generates in Descript are not as good as like the clips I see generated in Riverside. I feel like Riverside does a much better job if you're looking for virality with your shorts. I think Riverside does a much better job with grading the virality of the clip, picking the headline, and, you know, really keeping the content focused on the keyword or the topic. Whereas I feel the script is slightly off target sometimes.
Right, I think, got anything else you want to add to the discussion before we wrap things up?
Well, this video stuff to me, Jonathan, I just want to tell people, you know, the first step is to just do it. The first, like, if you're worried about having the perfect background, I didn't have this background until a couple months ago. Jonathan will tell you, I was in a baby blue room. It was horrible. You just got to do it. You just got to make the content. And it'll mature, it'll grow over time, but you got to get started. And some of the tools that we discussed here are like, you know, you could film yourself walking around in your backyard. You could use some tools for that. Or maybe you're interviewing somebody. It's a different tool for that. Like, find what fits your use case and your personality best, something that you will use. If you're trying to force yourself to use something that feels uncomfortable, you might never get started. And so the most important thing is to get started and then grow and mature through the creation process.
Rightio. So, Kurt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Mañana No Más for Business. That's our agency, and we're Mañana No Más on all social channels. And then in LinkedIn, I'm under Kurt Von Onen. I'm easy to find. I'm the only Kurt Von Onen in LinkedIn, and I'd love to connect with you there.
And if you're looking for great host support for WordPress, provides the most customization, ownership. If you're in the membership community, learning management space, have a look at utilizing WP Tonic. We will be back next week with another great topic. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.